So, have you ever tried to navigate that whole world of permits for window and door replacements?
Oh, it could be a real headache, that's for sure.
Yeah, but that's what we're here for. We're diving deep today into how to do it specifically in South Florida, Dade, Broward, Palm Beach counties to make it way easier for you.
And the interesting thing is, while these counties have, their quirks, a lot of the requirements are really similar all over the country.
Right.
So even if you aren't in South Florida, this deep dive is going to give you like a really solid foundation.
Exactly. And we're uncovering some real gems today, how you can actually draw your own plans, the power of understanding worst-case scenarios, and we'll even point you to a free online tool that can help.
Yeah, we're really going to focus on a specific process called Vulturation Level 1, which is really designed for like simpler renovations like these. It's actually surprisingly streamlined compared to, say, like adding a whole new room to your house.
Okay, so let's start by unpacking something called product approvals. It sounds kind of intimidating, but I have a feeling it's not as complicated as it sounds.
You're right. It's not as scary as it sounds. Think of a product approval as like a blueprint. Usually a set of plans that demonstrate your chosen window or door has been like really rigorously tested. Like it can withstand the specific wind pressures in your area. It's essentially a guarantee that your new windows and doors won't, fly away in the next hurricane.
Makes sense. It's all about making sure everything is up to code and, built to last, right? So where do you even find these product approvals?
There's a few key resources. A website called engineeringplans.com is a great place to start. They have a wide variety of building plans, including these approvals.
Okay.
You can also try a good old-fashioned Google search or check the Florida or Miami-Dade approval websites directly.
Okay, so I found a product approval for the window I want. What next?
So you need to make sure it actually applies to your specific project. Windows come in all sorts of shapes and sizes, and those hurricane winds can vary significantly depending on your location.
Right, so one size doesn't fit all when it comes to windows and wind pressure.
Exactly.
Okay.
The Engineering Express source gives a great example. They talk about a specific PGD non-impact fixed window. The model number is PW7620A.
Okay, so we've got a specific window model in mind. What's the key piece of information I need to pull from this product approval?
You need to find what's called the limiting design pressure for your chosen window size and type. So let's say you have a 72-inch by 36-inch window with a 316-inch annealed glass. The product approval will tell you the maximum pressure that specific window configuration can handle.
Got it. So I'm basically looking for a number that tells me how much wind pressure this specific window can withstand before, things start to go wrong.
Right.
What do I do with that number once I find it?
So you compare it to the wind pressure requirements for your exact location, and this is where building codes and those wind zone maps come into play.
Okay, starting to see how all these pieces fit together now. So once I have my product approval and I've made sure it meets the wind pressure requirements for my area, what exactly am I submitting to the permit office? The whole document.
It kind of depends on the specific municipality. For Miami-Dade, you typically submit the entire Notice of Acceptance document, or NOA, that comes with a product approval. But for Florida product approvals, you usually only need the cover page and the actual approval plans themselves.
So less paperwork for Florida approvals. I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
One more question. Do these documents need to be restamped by an engineer?
Nope. According to Engineering Express, the approval documents themselves do not need to be resealed by an engineer. They are good to go as is.
That's a relief. Okay, we've tackled product approvals. What's the next step in this permitting adventure?
Now we need a plan that shows exactly where these windows and doors are going in your house and what their pressure ratings are.
Wait a minute, a plan? Does that mean I need to channel my inner architect and start drawing blueprints?
So this is where things get interesting. You don't have to be a professional architect for this type of what we call a retrofit plan. Remember, we're talking about a simplified process for window and door replacements here.
Okay, so no fancy drafting skills required. What does this plan actually look like then?
Imagine a simple bird's eye view of your house. It's basically a rough sketch, showing the location of each window and door opening. You'll need to mark each opening, note its size, the wind pressure rating for that location, and ideally reference the product approval you're using. And good news is it doesn't need to be perfectly to scale or, look like a work of art.
I'm all about simplicity, so I can just grab a pen and paper and start sketching.
Absolutely. And to make things even easier, Engineering Express has a free online tool you can use to draw and save your sketch digitally. They even provide examples to show you just how straightforward it can be.
Free and easy, sign me up. Can you walk me through some of these examples?
Sure. So they highlight two different scenarios. One is a small house where the plan is literally a hand-drawn sketch, just identifying the openings and their general locations. One key thing to remember is that openings near the corners of the house are usually in what's called Zone 5, which means they experience higher wind pressures.
All makes sense. Corners tend to get the brunt of the wind. What about the second example?
The second one is a larger condo building. While the plan itself is still fairly simple, it needs to be sealed by a professional engineer because the project is over 30 feet high.
Okay, so there are some height limits where things get a little bit more official.
Exactly, but even then, you can still create the initial drawing yourself, which can save you some time and money. Now, in addition to the sketch itself, you'll also need to include what's called a window and door schedule. This is basically a detailed list of all the openings and their specifications.
Sounds organized. What kind of information goes on this schedule?
You'll need what's called the mark from the house plan, which is just a way to identify each opening. Then you list the quantity, the product size, the ASCE-7 wind pressure zone, the product name and description, the Florida or Miami-Dade product approval number, and finally, the design pressures.
So it's kind of like a super detailed shopping list for windows and doors?
You got it. And it's really important to remember that the design pressures from your product approval must be greater than or equal to the site-specific wind pressures you've determined for your location. That's critical.
Noted. Greater than or equal to. Are there any good, like, real-world examples of these schedules that I can look at?
Yes. The Village of North Palm Beach has a great example on their website. It shows an acceptable window and door plan and schedule that aligns with most of the requirements for South Florida.
Awesome. I love having a real live model to reference. You mentioned worst-case design pressures earlier. Is that something we're going to dive into next?
Absolutely. That's where things get really strategic when it comes to getting those permits.
Okay, I'm ready to explore this worst-case scenario. All right, so we've got our product approvals and a good understanding of how to create a basic plan. But you mentioned worst-case design pressures earlier. What does that mean, and how does it fit into this whole process?
That's a great question. It's kind of like a strategy, almost a shortcut, but it comes with some important caveats.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
So the idea is if you can determine the absolute highest wind pressure your windows and doors might be exposed to, you can potentially simplify the permitting process. Instead of calculating the specific wind load for every single opening, you use this worst-case value across the board. It ensures that all your windows and doors meet the most stringent requirements.
Okay, that makes sense. It's like erring on the side of caution and preparing for the most extreme scenario. But how do you even figure out what that worst-case pressure is?
Well, our friends at Engineering Express offer pre-engineered design charts that take into account factors like wind speed and exposure category, and you can typically get those details from your local building department.
So it's not just one universal worst-case number. It depends on my specific location and the kind of wind conditions they expect in that area.
Exactly. And remember those wind zones we talked about earlier, zone 4 versus zone 5, that also plays a role. Zone 5 is typically considered the worst-case scenario because it applies to areas that are the most exposed to wind, like those corners we mentioned.
Right, the corners of the house where wind can really whip around. So if I'm using one of these pre-engineered charts, do I still need a sealed plan from an engineer?
That's where it can get a little tricky, and it sometimes depends on the specific municipality. Some places in Broward County, for example, might accept an unsealed sketch of your house plan along with a worst-case chart that has been properly sealed by a licensed engineer.
So less paperwork in those cases, but that engineer's seal of approval is still important.
Absolutely. It's always best to double check with your local building department to confirm their exact requirements.
Always good advice. So tell me more about these Engineering Express charts. What do they actually look like and how do I use them?
Sure. So they offer several different resources. One option is their ASCE-7 components and cladding wall wind pressure calculator, which costs around $150. Or you can use their Pokin system, and this calculator provides very precise pressure calculations based on your specific inputs.
Okay, so that's for people who want to get really granular with the numbers. What are the other options?
They also have pre-made wind pressure charts for windows, doors, and shutters, as well as separate charts for garage doors and large openings. These are generally more affordable, usually between $25 and $30.
So different charts for different needs and budgets makes sense. Can you paint a picture for me? What does one of these Broward County worst-case charts actually look like?
Imagine a table with columns for mean roof height, tributary area, and then columns for both positive and negative wind pressures for different zones.
Okay, I'm starting to visualize it. So I'd find my mean roof height on the chart and then use that to find the correct wind pressure based on the size of the opening and whether it falls in zone 4 or zone 5.
Exactly. You've got it.
You keep mentioning this mean roof height. Is that just a fancy way of saying how tall my house is?
It is related to height, but it's a bit more specific than that. Mean roof height refers to the average height of your roof, taking into account any slopes or variations in height.
Okay, so if I have a sloped roof, I might need to do some extra calculations to determine my mean roof height.
That's right. And this is where consulting with a professional can be particularly helpful. They can make sure you're using the correct measurements and calculations for your specific roof design.
Right. We want to be precise with these measurements, especially when it comes to wind loads. This worst-case approach seems like a great strategy. Are there any situations where it wouldn't apply?
There are a few exceptions. Remember that condo example we discussed earlier? If your project involves a building that's taller than 30 feet, or if it's a multifamily dwelling, You'll most likely need a site-specific wind load calculation, and plan the worst-case shortcut usually doesn't apply in those cases.
Okay, so bigger buildings, more complexity, that makes sense. We've covered a lot of ground already, product approvals, creating a plan, figuring out those worst-case pressures. What else should I know about to really master this permitting process?
Well, there are a few additional details that often trip people up, things like window and door buck requirements, egress rules, and understanding how to deal with those decorative mullions and transoms.
All right, I'm all ears first up. What are these bucks you're talking about?
A buck is essentially the frame that goes around your window or door opening. Some building departments have specific requirements for these bucks, including engineering specifications and inspections, especially if they're made of wood.
So it's not just about the window or door itself, it's about how it's properly framed within the wall.
Exactly. And here's a helpful tip. Engineering Express actually sells pre-engineered plans for standard 1X and 2X wood bucks. Using these can save you a lot of time and hassle.
That's really useful to know. Okay, what about this egress thing? What's that all about?
Egress refers to having a safe and accessible way to exit a room during an emergency. So when you're replacing windows, especially in bedrooms, you need to make sure you're still meeting those egress requirements.
So no bricking up windows to create a hidden room or anything like that. Safety first.
You got it. Now, those mullions and transoms we mentioned earlier, those are the decorative elements you often see in windows and doors.
Right. The things that add visual interest and break up a plain rectangular window or door.
Exactly. But there's a catch. If you're planning to use mullions or transoms, you need to be aware of specific design considerations and requirements. And if there isn't an existing product approval for the exact mullion transom configuration you're using, you might need to involve a design professional to make sure everything meets code.
Got it. So those decorative details can add a layer of complexity. Noted. What about garage doors? Are there any special considerations there?
Yes, one last important thing to remember is that garage doors and large openings in general often have different design pressure requirements than standard windows and doors.
I would imagine that's because they present a larger surface area for wind to push against.
You are absolutely right. Because of their size, garage doors and other large openings are more susceptible to wind loads and the impact of flying debris during a storm. Luckily, Engineering Express offers separate wind pressure charts specifically designed for garage doors and large openings so you can ensure you're selecting a product that meets the appropriate standards.
Fantastic. Okay, I feel like we've covered just about everything product approvals. Creating the plan, understanding worst-case scenarios, those important buck requirements, egress rules, mullions and transoms, and even garage doors. Is there anything else we need to know before we actually submit that permit application?
We're almost there. Just a few final steps to ensure a smooth and successful permitting process.
Lead the way. I'm ready to get these windows and doors installed. Okay, I'm feeling pretty good about everything we've talked about so far. We've got our product approvals, a solid plan, and we even understand those worst-case scenarios. So what are those final steps to make sure this permitting process actually goes smoothly?
All right, so now that you've gathered all the necessary documents, your product approvals, your house sketch, that detailed window and door schedule, and any sealed engineering charts or calculations you might need, it's time to officially apply for that permit.
The moment of truth. But I have a feeling this is where things can get a little, well, I don't know, tricky depending on where I live and the specific rules of my city or county, right?
You are absolutely right. The application process and requirements can vary quite a bit from one municipality to the next. That's why it's always best to contact your local building department directly. They can give you the most up-to-date information on their specific procedures and any unique requirements they might have.
So even though we've covered, you know, a lot of the general principles, it's still important to double check with the local authorities just to make sure I'm dotting all my I's and crossing all my T's.
Precisely. It's always better to be safe than sorry and make sure you're following the correct procedures for your specific location.
Okay, I'll make sure to do that. Are there any other general tips I should keep in mind when it comes to the application itself?
Absolutely. One thing to consider is whether your municipality accepts digital applications or if they still require paper submissions. Many building departments are moving towards digital systems, which can be much more convenient.
Yeah, less paper is always a win in my book.
But if you do need to submit a paper application, make sure you have the original copies of any sealed engineering documents. Photocopies won't be accepted in those cases.
Okay, so those engineer stamps need to be the real deal. Got it. Are there any, like, resources that might make this whole application process a bit easier to navigate?
Yes, actually, our friends at Engineering Express have put together a really helpful resource. They've compiled a list of links to South Florida city and county websites that provide detailed information about their specific requirements and application procedures.
Oh, that's incredibly helpful. I'll definitely be bookmarking that. So just to recap, we've got Engineering Express's comprehensive wind page, their wind pressure calculator, those handy dandy charts for, various scenarios, the user-friendly sketch tool, pre-engineered plans for woodbucks, and of course, engineeringplans.com for tracking down those all-important product approvals. Did I miss anything?
That's an excellent summary. You've really got all the essential tools and resources at your fingertips now. But before we wrap up this deep dive, I want to emphasize one crucial point. Even though we've discussed how you can handle, much of this permitting process on your own, we always highly recommend consulting with a licensed professional who has specific experience in stormwind design.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It's one thing to understand the paperwork and the general principles, but when it comes to the actual installation of that windows and doors, it's definitely better to err on the side of caution and get, expert advice.
Absolutely. Improper installation can have very serious safety implications, not only for your own home, but potentially for neighboring properties as well.
Right, it's like a chain reaction. You don't want a poorly installed window becoming a dangerous projectile during a hurricane.
Exactly. So if you have any doubts or questions at all during this process, please don't hesitate to reach out to the experts. Engineering Express offers a variety of ways to connect with them, including online chat, email, support a contact form on their website, and even phone consultations. They truly seem to have all the bases covered when it comes to supporting homeowners through this process.
They really do sound like permit whisperers. Okay, we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive. We've demystified those sometimes confusing product approvals, learned how to create a simple yet effective retrofit plan, and even figured out how to use those worst-case scenarios to our advantage. We've tackled those essential buck requirements, explored the importance of egress, and even delved into the world of millions transoms and those tricky garage doors. What a journey.
It's been quite the adventure, and I think the biggest takeaway for me is that even though this permitting process might seem daunting at first glance, it's ultimately about ensuring safety and peace of mind for you and your family, knowing that your home is properly fortified and prepared for, whatever Mother Nature throws its way is truly priceless.
I wholeheartedly agree. And now that I'm, thinking about worst case scenarios, I can't help but wonder what would the absolute worst case scenario be for my specific project? What factors would really push those wind pressures to the limit?
That's an excellent question to ponder. Remember, it's a combination of factors that determine the overall wind load on your windows and doors. Things like mean roof height, the size of the openings, the wind zone you're located in, the expected wind speed for your area, and the exposure category all play a role in those calculations. It's a complex interplay of variables, and understanding how each of these factors impacts your specific project can empower you to make the most informed decisions about the types of windows and doors you choose.
Wow, you've given me a lot to think about. This has been an incredibly informative deep dive. I feel much more confident about tackling this permitting process head on. And who knows, maybe I'll even discover a hidden talent for window and door design along the way.